Last week, we talked about opening our eyes to see people. I don't know if it shocked you as much as it shocked me, the statistic in last week's message that 50% of young Christians believe it is immoral to share their faith. It's interesting, of all the things they could believe, they believe that it's immoral to share their faith. Instead of believing that God is big and God is powerful and God wants to save, they choose rather to believe and put a focus on the belief that it is immoral to share their faith. I don't want to be in that 50% here at the Church Covington. I want to share faith. I want to love people. I want to love people to Jesus, love people to a relationship with Jesus. And it feels like there is a crisis of faith in the world today. There is a crisis of faith where people are not sure what they believe, and they're just not positive. And we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be grounded, to be rooted, to be established in faith, because I want to see people saved. Do you know anybody? Do you know anybody in your life? Maybe you have people in your house. Maybe you have kids, family members, neighbors, co-workers, friends. You want to see them saved. I know those lines are really blurred right now, and we're not sure who believes what or who they worship or where they stand. I have a responsibility to what I know. To whom much is given, much is required. And so I want to see people saved, which means that I have to share the information, the revelation, the understanding that I have. I want to share my faith. Let me read Matthew today, chapter number 15, beginning at verse 29. If you have your Bible and you want to join me there, or maybe you're on a digital device, or you just want to look at the screen and follow along. Matthew 15 and verse 29. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet. And he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. I'm not going to preach this story in its entirety, but I wanted you to hear all of it, and then we'll extract out a few points and details that I think are important and that I believe God wants us to see today. But I'm always amazed when I read these stories, the people during the 3.5 years of Jesus' earthly ministry, the people literally never stopped coming. Every time he turned around, there was another group of people. In fact, they were the reason that he came. The people seemed to get on the disciples' nerves sometimes, and they seemed irritated, and Jesus would correct them. Jesus would fix their attitude and just remind them in so many words, they are the reason that I came. There were times, of course, that Jesus needed rest. There were times that he took brief pauses, but as soon as he found that rest, he called the people and they came again. Throughout the Bible, various translations, they are described as crowds. They are referred to as throngs, whole villages, towns, even cities. But most commonly, they were called multitude. They were groups and masses of people that needed Jesus, whether they knew it or not. They didn't even know what they needed. They just followed a crowd into his presence, and then Jesus began to heal, and Jesus began to work. It's fascinating to me because Jesus' day, while unique, it really isn't all that different from today, at least when it comes to crowds and to throngs and to whole villages, towns, and cities needing Jesus. We even like to group people together. We like to lump folks together. We put people together the way that they did in the Bible days. But I want you to notice verse number 30 here, Matthew 15. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they laid them at his feet, and he healed them. I want you to look today at those who are included in this crowd. It's the lame. It's the blind. It's the crippled. It's the mute. These are biblical terms for the paralyzed or the sight challenged or those who did not have the ability to speak. Maybe even those who were mentally afflicted or as we would say, they're not in their right mind. There were deformed people who were probably missing limbs, handicapped in various ways. I mean, you got to imagine that church service. It's a gathering of struggling folk. It's a congregation of crisis. Anyone could easily see what their neighbor was dealing with. There was no need for prayer request. There were certainly no unspoken prayer request. I could look over at the person beside me and it's obvious what this guy needs. I can look over to my right and it's clear to me. I can see it for myself what it is that they are challenged with or what it is that they are dealing with. It really is the exact opposite of what we do today. Today, everything is hidden. Today, everything is filtered. Today, everything is covered up. I mean, I know Jesus wants to work. I know Jesus wants to move. I know Jesus wants to heal and to restore. But I wonder if Jesus is waiting on you and I to expose our need to him and to get honest about what it is that we're dealing with in our lives and to come clean with what it is that we are facing so that he can heal us. Because I'll tell you this today, in the presence of God, there should be no shame about having a need in my life. Oh, I know we may have fudged the application. We may not have given them all the information they were asking for, in the interview. But if I'm going to be honest anywhere, I need to be honest in the presence of the Lord because he already knows what it is I'm struggling with. He already knows what it is I'm dealing with. He already knows the issue in my life. I know I'm trying to dress it up so that you won't look at me it funny. I'm trying to filter it and hide it and conceal it so that you won't know that inside I'm raging and something is wrong and I'm in a crisis. But oh, if I could come into the presence of the Lord with abandon, if I could come into the presence of the Lord without pretense, if I could come into the presence of the Lord without filter, without hiding anything, and just worship Him from a place of struggle, praise Him from a place of pain, I'm telling you, I wouldn't struggle very long. I wouldn't be in pain very long, because when Jesus sees that kind of honesty, He said, you know what, I'm drawn to a broken heart. I move when I see people who are honest in my presence. I was preaching in Honduras many years ago, and we were in this, they called it a gymnasium, but it was their version of a stadium, a small stadium, but it was packed out every single night. There was 4,000 or 5,000 people in this gymnasium, and people would come. They were coming from the streets. They were coming out of the hillside. They were coming from all over those villages. And I never will forget. I mean, as the memory comes back to me, Tony Suarez, who has preached here and is preaching all over America, he was just a high school student on a missions trip in the service that I am talking about. But there was a young man that was over on this front row right here to my left as I stood in that pulpit, and he was severely crippled. I had never seen anyone in that condition. His legs atrophied and undeveloped. His legs were completely twisted where his bones had grown, not straight, but they were twisting. And so literally, I know it is a sharp mental image, but his feet were not facing in the right direction. They were twisted and going in wrong directions. But there was something about that young man that I had to respect, something about that young man that I had to admire, because he wasn't on a back row. He wasn't up in the stands. He wasn't somewhere far away hiding his struggle, hiding his pain. He wasn't living in shame. He found a front row, and as best he could with those wooden crutches, he was trying to worship. Not trying, he was worshiping, and tears would run down his face. And I watched him those four nights, night after night, in that same seat, just worshiping God with everything that he had. And that last night of that crusade, I was preaching about the fire of God. I never will forget. I had an interpreter, John Hopkins, who was a missionary to Panama and around the world. He pastors in the States now. He stands about 6'5", but he was the interpreter. And I was saying fire, and he was interpreting fregro. I was saying fire, and he was interpreting fregro. I was saying the fire of God was coming, and he was saying fregro was coming in Spanish, however you say that. But all of a sudden, I realized the more I said fire, I didn't have an interpreter. He wasn't echoing what I was saying. He wasn't saying and interpreting the message that I was preaching. I was saying fire, and he wasn't moving. And finally, I turned to find out where my fearless interpreter was, and he was laid out on the stage. God had just literally knocked him out. If you're new to this spirit-filled atmosphere, buckle your seatbelt, because I'm telling you, it gets even better than that. My interpreter was out in the spirit. I kept yelling, fire, fire, fire. And finally, somebody came and tapped me on the shoulder and pointed over to that young man who had been on the front row every night. When my eyes got to where he was, that young man was still holding on to those crutches. But I literally saw before my very eyes, his legs began to untangle. It was almost like a cartoon. It was almost like a movie that you would see. His legs began to unravel, and those bones began to pop, and his feet started straightening out. I can't tell you how long it took. It seemed like an eternity, but it really was only a few seconds as his bones began to unravel, and years of crippled and years of challenge and years of struggle began to leave his body. And all of a sudden, I'm not making it up, folks. I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes. Tony Suarez was in the room. We all saw it. John Hopkins finally got his head up enough out of the spirit to see what was happening. When that young man's last foot finally got straight, he looked at those crutches. I've had you all my life. I've lived with you as long as I can remember. But he threw those crutches to the side, and the young man who had twisted bolt began to run across the floor of that auditorium. I'm telling you what Jesus can do. I'm telling you the power that he has. And we think whatever it is we're dealing with is too big for God. We think whatever it is we're facing is too much for Jesus. No, it's not too much for him. What's too much for him is that we're hiding behind our struggle. What's too much is that we cannot get honest and get real in his presence. I ought to get on the front row with my crutch, with my hang-up, with my addiction, with my pain. I need to worship with everything I have so that Jesus can do what he does best. Somebody say fire. Fire. It's a good chance for you to shout Fregro. Where you at, Jaime? They got you serving somewhere. Say Fregro. Thank you. Here are all these people in this church service. Here's everybody is struggling. And Matthew, after listing the obvious, Matthew says, hey, that wasn't everyone that was there. I know there were a lot of needs in the room. There were so many people. The crowd, the multitude, the throng of people coming after Jesus was so great. We saw the lame, we saw the blind, we saw the crippled, and the mute were there. But Matthew said, let me tell you something. There were others too. In fact, there were many others. So many others. No doubt there were the obvious needs that were present in the room. Their crisis is not hidden from anyone. Their challenge is one that everyone can see. But who were the others? Matthew said there were so many of them. So many others. The blind, the crippled, the mute, the deaf. But there were many others. The truth is, it doesn't matter the who or even the what. At some point, you and I have to realize that there is no need that goes unnoticed in the presence of the Lord. At some point, we give priority to the big things. We give priority to the things that we can see or that we can put eyes on. But listen, that young man with twisted bones, he was not the only one. There were blind eyes that were open and deaf ears that were unstopped and cancers that disappeared. All of it happened in that service. But let me tell you something. There were people that were battling depression. There were people that were overwhelmed by anxiety. There were many others in that room, just like there are in this room today. I don't know who everyone is. I don't know what everyone is facing. I don't know what everyone is going through. There may be the lame, there may be the blind, there may be the crippled, but I know there are many others as well. And Jesus has not forgotten you. And Jesus has not overlooked you. And Jesus has not turned a deaf ear to your cry, because everything and anything and all needs are important to him. Let me just go ahead and level with you today, because the enemy loves to tell you that you've been forgotten. Woo, he's good at it. He's a good devil. He's good at his job. He does it really, really well, and he convinces us that we have been overlooked. He convinces us that no one knows. He pushes us into isolation. There are people watching me online right now that you're not online because of a pandemic scare. You're online because you're afraid to be in the same room with people. You're more comfortable being in your living room, sitting in that chair all by yourself. I see you. I'm talking to you. I want you to hear me by the Spirit today, because the enemy loves to isolate. He loves to get you lonely. He loves to make you believe that no one cares and no one understands. But I've arisen to tell you on a Sunday morning that you are included. The others in this room are included. Yeah, there's the lame. Yes, there's the blind. But there are many others. And Jesus, the Bible said, healed them all. Everybody got what they needed in that service. Everyone received what they were looking for in that atmosphere. Everyone's life was affected. Everyone's heart was touched. Everyone received what they needed in their life. I'm going to tell you it's going to be all right today. I'm going to tell you that you're going to survive it. You're going to make it through. You're going to be able to handle it. You're going to be able to get through it. You're going to be able to overcome it, because Jesus is not looking to heal just one person or just one individual or just one kind of struggle. He's ready to heal everybody in this room. Man, I can't help but feel what I feel. If you need a miracle in your life right now, you say, Pastor, you're not finished preaching. No, I'm not. I'm going to keep preaching in just a moment. But if you're in this room and you need a miracle in your life, I feel an anointing of healing. Stand to your feet. It doesn't matter where you are. If you need a healing, maybe you're the lame, maybe you're the blind, maybe you are the others. Stand up and let God do what he wants to do in your life. Jesus, you see every one of them. They're not hiding. They're not in shame. I speak healing into their life. I speak deliverance into their life. I speak freedom into their life. I speak the fire of God into their lives. In Jesus' name, come on, somebody give God praise for the miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 The enemy loves to tell me I'm forgotten, but the truth is I'm healed and I'm helped, and this is the best day of my life, because Jesus knows who I am. God, I feel the Lord in this room. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Baptists are nervous, so let me calm down. Jesus wants us to see something. He wanted these disciples to see it. I mean, this crowd of people, this multitude of people that have pressed their way to where Jesus is. He's on a mountainside. He's elevated himself because he wants to elevate people, and they make their way up to this elevated place, and the Bible said that he healed all of them. Everybody was healed, but Jesus doesn't want us to miss this, so he calls his disciples, and he said, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse in the way. What a travesty for them to come to church and find what they're looking for, only to go back home and to be robbed of their miracle. How sad it is for someone to only have peace when they're at church. No, that's not what God intended. He wanted us to have peace everywhere, every place the sole of our foot touches. Whether I'm at work, whether I'm at school, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in my kitchen, in my backyard, whether I'm driving down the road, his presence is with me. Oh, I value the house of God. I value Sundays at 10 a.m. I value small group time, but I can access this anywhere and any time of the day. I'm going to keep coming on Sunday, but if I get in trouble on Tuesday, if I get into a crisis on Thursday, I don't have to wait till Sunday. Lord, I need you right now. I need you to work right now. I need you to move in my life right now. Jesus said, I don't want them to collapse on the way. So he said, I want to feed them. I want to make a difference in their life. I mean, on one hand, we could ask the question, hadn't Jesus done enough? I mean, they were healed. The blind could see. The deaf could hear. The crippled were on their feet. But you see, Jesus had this holistic approach to ministry. And we should have the same holistic approach to ministry. He wants them healed head to toe, mind, body, and spirit. Say, Pastor, are you off into that new age thing now? No, you're thinking of the way the world has perverted the plan of God. I'm still in the book. Jesus doesn't want you just healed in your body. He wants you to be healed in your mind, healed in your spirit. If my only goal is to get out of my current fix, it won't be but just a few days before I'm in another fix. If I don't heal what causes me to keep falling into ditches and heal what causes me to fall into trouble and the crisis in my life, Jesus said, I'll heal your body, but I want to heal your mind. I want to heal your spirit. If you come only thinking you got to fix one thing, I've got to get rid of this addiction, I've got to get rid of this pain, I've got to get rid of this crisis in my relationship, I'm coming just long enough to get my finance in order. If you're just thinking in terms of one thing that God can do for you, then you're going to be in another mess and another jam and another crisis, because his goal is to take us beyond that initial experience. That means that whatever brought me to God, he wants to take me beyond that. whatever crisis brought me into his presence, he said, now I'm going to heal you some more. I'm going to do some other things. I'm going to keep working in your life. Ooh, I like what we're sharing today. I just need another moment. I need to give you four things about others today. Four things about others as we think about a holistic approach to ministry. How can we effectively make a difference in people's lives? As I'm inviting people to come and be my guest, as I'm compelling some and bringing and just almost wrestling, I want them in the presence of the Lord. They don't even realize they need this, but I know exactly where they are and what it is that they're going through, and I want them to get in the house of God, because I know that once they get there, that Jesus can do his work. Number one, Jesus was comfortable around all kinds of people. People did not make him nervous. Can I tell you today that if we are going to build anything, it'll only be because we're welcoming to all people. If we're going to be the church that God wants us to be in this community, if we're going to make the impact and the difference that Jesus wants us to make as a church, then we have to be comfortable around all kinds of people. If my thought is, well, they don't look like me, even better. They don't vote like me, even better. This idea of just same, same, same. We all dress the same. We all look the same. We all talk the same. That's not what Jesus designed. I don't care if you're tattooed, pierced, addicted, gay. I don't care. Jesus' presence is available to everyone. Jesus was comfortable around all kinds of people. That means I need to be comfortable around all kinds of people. That doesn't mean that however I arrive, I'm going to leave. That doesn't mean that whatever way I come, that's the way I'm going to stay. No, we absolutely know. If I were to call for testimonies and call for different types and groups of people, who used to be this, who used to be that, who is this right now, who struggled with this, who's struggling right now, you would see like popcorn all different kinds of people. But the fact that we kept coming, the fact that we kept showing up, the fact that we kept showing up into the presence of the Lord, Jesus did a work in our lives. I don't care if they're a mess from head to toe. I keep hearing the scripture that says, and such were some of you. It doesn't matter that your mess is different than the mess I struggled with. It doesn't matter if your addiction is different than the addiction that I had. We're all in the room, all of us, lame, blind, crippled, mute, and many others. Many others. We're all here. We're all dealing with it. Somebody say others. So not only was Jesus comfortable around all kinds of people, number two, Jesus enjoyed being around needs. I love this. Jesus enjoyed being around needs. Needs did not make him uncomfortable. People's pain, people's crisis, people's struggle did not make Jesus uncomfortable. You know why? Because needs are opportunities. Needs are opportunities. People are not problems. I know people irritate us. I know people get on our nerves. Pastor, do you ever get irritated? A lot. But people are not problems. People are opportunities. And I don't mean that in the sense that I'm looking at you as a stepping stone. No. Your need is an opportunity for me to share how great and awesome God is. It's kind of interesting to me that the required ingredient for a miracle is a need. That's why Jesus does miracles, because there were lame people and blind people and struggling people. They all were there, and Jesus said, got a bunch of needs, guess what? I've got a bunch of miracles. So if we have a church full of needs and people in need, guess what? We're going to have a bunch of miracles. The presence of God is going to be palpable and strong and awesome. Don't let someone's pain, someone's problem, someone's process, don't let that scare you. Embrace that. Lean into that. I'm not talking about validating that. I'm not talking about, oh, good girl, I'm glad you have so many problems. That's perfect. No, the smile comes because, listen, if the only requirement needed to get a miracle is a need, then guess what? You're about to get a miracle, and I'm smiling, I'm excited, because I know what God is going to do in your life. Here's number three. He wanted his disciples to be a part of it. The miracle, the blessing, the breakthrough, the experience. He wanted his disciples to be a part of it. Listen, if anyone could have sung a solo, Jesus could have. Jesus, he could have done it all by himself. But he included everyone. And he got his disciples involved in the process. That means he wants you and I involved in the process. We've got one of those phrases that is rooted in Bible ideas and concepts, but we talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus, you know. Like the old story of the gardener that was out there showing somebody all the rows he had tilled and turned and seeds he had planted, and he was bragging to his neighbor, look at this, look what I've done. Oh no, man, that's God. God did that. He said, no, I did that. No, God did that. He said, well, you should have seen it before when God had it. It's one of those old stories that has a little ring of, now Jesus gives the ability to get out there and turn it, pull the weeds. And by the way, work day next Saturday. Look at how the Lord just worked. I can walk out there to that bed of weeds, and believe me, I've done it, because they make me mad. I curse these weeds. I've prayed. The weeds keep coming. He's waiting on someone to get a rake, to get a hoe, to get a hand. Pull them up. It's the same way with people in our community, people with needs. He's waiting on someone to share their experience. He gives us the chance to share our faith, to be a part of someone's miracle. And greater things shall you do. Somebody say others. Here's number four. Not only was Jesus comfortable around all kinds of people, not only did he enjoy being around needs, and he wanted his disciples, his followers, to be a part of the experience, but number four, there are different opportunities for mercies and miracles. The question is, are we facilitating ways for everyone to be helped? As a church, as a ministry, as a body, are we creating space, facilitating ways? Do we have opportunities for people to receive mercy and miracles? Are we designing ministry that invites everyone, the obvious needs and the others? Do we have a holistic approach? Because the truth is, there are far more people that are crippled by anxiety than there are those who are crippled on their feet. There are more people depressed, struggling, wrestling every day with this silent, evasive, I don't know when it's going to show up or from which direction it's going to come. All I can do is make sure I'm in the presence of the Lord. So how does God want to work in 2022? Needs are different. Struggle is different. Pain is different. I know one of the ways God wants us to take what we have and give it to others. You know what? We're getting ready to baptize here in just a moment. I'm excited. If there's anybody else that wants to be baptized, ahead. We're about to baptize Barry Avery here in just a few moments. He's going to get ready. If there's somebody else that wants to follow Barry, I got shorts, t-shirts, towels, whatever you need. I'd love to baptize you today. But the reality is, you could be on either side of today's miracle. You may be the blind, you may be the crippled, you may be the lame or the mute, or you could be the other. Maybe you don't even know who you are or what it is that you're struggling with, what you need, but can I tell you that Jesus knows? Jesus knows. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. This moment is so personal. I wouldn't dare want to be pressured by my neighbor or inhibited by my neighbor. This is just a moment for me and Jesus to come to terms and to talk through what it is I need in my life. Maybe you know what your struggle is. Maybe you could call it by name. You know exactly what it is. And yet, someone else is saying, I don't even know. It's just this heaviness I'm tired of. It's just this feeling I can't shake. I believe there is healing today. I believe there are miracles in this room. Why? Because there are needs in this room. If you're here today and you want to be included in this prayer, I just want you to lift your hand right where you are. Just you can raise it up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lots of hands. Thank you. What are we praying? I'm going to lead you in that, and you can pray with me. You can use your words. You can borrow my words. There's people in this room today that are going to receive a miracle simply because you have a need. There's others in this room that it's time for you to say yes to Jesus. It's time for you to stop trying to manage life on your own. It's unmanageable without Jesus in my life. And I don't mean Jesus as an afterthought. I mean Jesus as my full-time commitment. Father, I pray today for people. I saw 20 hands at least. People with needs, people in crisis, people struggling. Someone in pain, someone battling. Wrestling, running. I pray today, Lord, that you would be our healer. Every hand that lifted represents a need. And I pray you would meet that need in Jesus' name. Whatever it is. Weight lifting off, the darkness dissipating, the confusion becoming clear, the pain in a physical body gone, the disease, the diagnosis, the fear of disease. In Jesus' name, miracles on miracles on miracles. But Lord, the miracle of the heart. If I'm not where I need to be with you today, if I'm not in right standing, if I'm not living my best spiritual life. No, perfection. That's not the goal. That's not the aim. It's just my yes, Lord, my willingness, my heart. I pray that you would see my heart. I pray that you would forgive me of my sin. I pray that you would search me. I pray that I could turn around and go the opposite direction. Right direction toward you, toward your word, toward your plan for my life. Today I say yes. I accept you as my Savior. I receive you as my help. I pray you would fill me with your Spirit, that you would order my steps, that you would save me. In Jesus' name, can we just give God praise today for changed lives? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand with me across the room? Thank you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. There's a hunger and a thirst.